everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of QSR Uncut. I'm your host, Danny Klein, the editorial director here at QSR. And so I'm trying to figure out how to even begin here, Dustin, but as we were just talking offline literally seconds ago, I have never had a guest in the 100 and whatever amount of episodes we've done who labels themselves a keynote speaker / professional idiot. So thank you for joining us, first of all, but I want to just give you the floor here really quickly. Tell us, first of all, you'll have to explain to us this professional idiot thing, because it goes a lot deeper than it sounds, but also just tell us a little bit about your background, because it is pretty amazing for sure.
Well, it's so unconventional, and so I currently reside in Tampa, Florida, and I was a professional performing circus clown for Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus for 7 years, 2005 until 2012. And that was a childhood dream of mine at the age of four, whenever I used to go to the circuses in Kansas City. And I told my parents that that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, there was something I did throughout my childhood, manifesting and visualization, which a lot of the intellectuals speak about. And after a successful career in the entertainment industry with Ringling Brothers, I moved on to become Ronald McDonald for corporate McDonald's. And that's one of the reasons why I'm on here. Not just why is Danny interviewing someone who was a former Ringling clown? And so I became Ronald McDonald, and I did that for nearly 4 years, and was so blessed to have some incredible opportunities with the Ronald program. And then after that, I got sucked into the corporate world and got picked up by one of the largest McDonald's franchises, Casper's Company, based here in the Tampa Bay region. And then whenever they sold their franchise and the fall of 2022, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And all of a sudden I was like, listen, I've been doing this all my life. I'm going to be a professional full-time speaker. So here we are.
Where to begin here? So what were you doing for Casper's, you know, in that space?
Not much. No, I was, they had brought me in November of 2017, into the community relations realm. And, they had created a position for me within their organization. And what was so interesting, Danny, was my nearly 4 years as Ronald, I thought I was just doing the, you know, job based off of what the, you know, contract said. And I've always been one to go way above and beyond what the natural call of duty is per se. And when corporate McDonald's unfortunately decided to get rid of the Ronald program, we were never really given what the reasoning behind it was. Of course, we all kind of knew what was going on. And I sat down with Blake Casper, CEO. And I thought I was going into this meeting, I was getting a severance from Casper's, and because they were one of our largest clients. Out of my 230 obligations contractually every year, Casper's was probably 70 to 80 gigs. They were one of the largest franchises. They had 60 restaurants. So they had a lot of touch points here in the area. And in that conversation, Blake said, no, we're going to create a position for you here at the organization. He said, but Dustin, you didn't realize it, but all the 4 years that you know, you were Ronald, and I would see you at these events, and I would say, dang, that guy can do more than just put on makeup. He's relatable. He can talk to anybody. And he said, I need someone like that within my organization to represent our nearly 4,200 employees. And he said, you didn't realize it, but every time I saw you, you were really on an audition. Mm. And then when the timing was right, we brought you on board.
I mean, that just goes to show you in life, you got to look at everything as an audition sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, you know, when you were mentioning there your career as a clown, Dustin, I don't think you did yourself justice. You know, I was reading, you know, your background here, and you were 22 years old when you became the third youngest person in Ringling's 147 year history to be promoted to boss clown, which I'm assuming means you were like head clown, but you were an exceptional clown, not just a regular clown. So,
well, you know, it's, It took a long time to get to that particular moment. And, you know, I just finished writing my book. Actually, tomorrow I should be getting my second proof of it. First one I wasn't too happy with. But in the book, you know, I kind of at the beginning go through the trials and tribulations that I lost 127 pounds in 9 months. In 2004, I had connected with a former Ringling Clown who's considered the quote unquote master clown. And, you know, people think that you just slap on some makeup and, you know, you just go out there and you just act stupid. You act like an idiot. And that's just not how it is. If you are a professional, you know, for you, Danny, it isn't just, you know, you're going to put in your Apple, you know, earbuds and just talk to someone. I mean, there's a lot of prep that goes into it. And so people just don't realize, being a professional clown, the prep work that goes into it, to fall down safely without getting hurt, to throw a pie during a pie routine without breaking someone's nose. There's a lot of intricacies that go into it. And some people just are naive to the fact of what really takes to be a clown. And so I had lost all this weight because I knew that that getting onto Ringling, that I had to lose all the weight. And so 9 months at the age of 15, 16, I lost all of the weight. And it was a lot of work.
Yeah, I would ask you how you did that, but I don't know, even though we have time for that. I imagine it wasn't easy, though.
It's all about mindset. 16,
you know, that's crazy.
It's all about mindset, Danny. You know, if you can visualize yourself doing something, like what I had, you know, alluded to earlier, you visualize, you manifest it, you can emotionally feel yourself in that moment, man, you can do anything. And I think that's where a lot of people have that, you know, mental block, is they aren't emotionally attached to the work that they're doing. So naturally, they're not going to be successful at it.
Yeah. So before we get into kind of your current view on things, which I think is a really great message for people to hear, I also want to highlight one more career moment for you here, when you were, you know, Ronald McDonald at the Macy's Parade in 2017. So for anybody who's listening who might have been watching that, you know, that was you out there as Ronald.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was an out of body experience. And whenever I got the job as Ronald in 2014, in the summertime of 2014, I said, I'm going to be in the Macy's Parade one of these days. I'm going to do it. And then April of 2017, one day in the afternoon, I get the phone call from then, his name was Carl Wolf, who was in charge of the global Ronald program. He goes, "Hey, Dustin, it's CW. Got some really good news. I would love for you to be in this year's Macy's Parade." And I said, he goes, "You know, think about it." And I said, "There's no thinking about it. I'm going to do it." And so, again, it goes back to emotionally being invested in what you want to do and authentically bringing it to yourself. And it was an out-of-body experience. That particular year, there was about 4 million people lining the parade route and around 50 million people watching from home. I think Nielsen had put out all of the, you know, numbers. It was like 50 million people watched it and another 4 million lined the parade route. So it was just an incredible experience to have people hanging out of balconies, skyscrapers, and I mean, every angle, Ronald, Ronald. It was just surreal. And one of the most surreal things is, you know what, I could go into a back alley or go into the SUV that, you know, that picked me up and take it all off and walk past the same people, and they would have no idea who I was. So I really had the best of both worlds. I could be this massive icon who everyone knows, and then I could be Dustin, who, you know, the general population have no idea who I am.
Yeah. Was it ever hard to turn it off? I mean, because you talk about that point right there where you're like, you can remove the mask and you're suddenly just a, you know, you're just a regular guy. I mean, did you ever, you know, because it's like, you know, generally people say we go home and we try to maybe not carry some of our work, you know, through the door if, say, we're stressed out or whatever. But when you're Ronald McDonald, you know, it's like being a method actor. But, you know, what was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that like?
You know, whenever I auditioned for the Ronald gig, you know, I believe in the law of attraction, the universe, everything kind of aligns and happens for a reason. I moved to Tampa May of 2014 for a 6-week contract at Busch Gardens. I had nothing else lined up. I had this incredible career at Ringling, didn't really know what I wanted to do, got this 6-week contract. 2 weeks in, Ronald, hey, Dustin, this is corporate McDonald's. We got your resume. We'd like to fly you to Tampa to audition for Ronald. What? I just moved here like 2 weeks ago. Well, the audition is in 1 week. So I, weirdly enough, out of what little I brought a blue suitcase with my clown stuff. I had no intentions, Danny, of ever performing again as a professional clown. Brought it with me, auditioned about a week later at St. Peter Claver, which is a local inner city school. There was 8 of us in the principal's office, and we each had 8 minutes to perform in front of the panel of judges. And there's a reason why I'm saying this, because of your, you know, question as well, when can you turn it off? So 4 of us auditioned in the morning. There was going to be a lunch break, and then the other 4 were going to do the afternoon. Well, I had to get back to Busch Gardens because I was still doing the show that I was contracted to. So I told the panel, hey, I want to audition, but I have to leave after the first 4. So after the first 4 of us auditioned, they called me up to speak to the panel of judges. And a couple of years later, I figured out that one of the judges, one of the franchise owners, was so impressed that I was in full clown makeup, but yet I could have a business conversation. He thought that I was just going to do clown tricks the entire time or try and be funny. And so for him, it really messed with his mind that this guy is in full clown makeup. His job is to be a professional idiot, but yet he's having an intellectual conversation about the business. And so for him, he said he was signed, sealed, delivered right after my 10-minute interview. And he actually turned to the other panel of judges, I found out, and said, I don't want to see anybody else. Dustin's it. And they said, but Bruce, you can't do that. We've flown these other 7 guys around the country out. You have to at least see them perform. So that, knowing when to turn it off, and I'm an inherently funny person, and most people are like, well, you're probably always on in some degree, but I know when to turn it off and when to be serious and, you know, having this kind of conversations, more lightheartedness, but, you know, being, you know, very serious. I think that's extremely important. And that's something that I had brought into the franchise workplace was a sense of humor, because we all needed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's really a fascinating story because, you don't really hear about it too often anymore. Cause no one really has mascots at this point, you know?
Well, at least mascots where the person shows their face. Typically it's a, you know, big head character, and really the Mickey D's world is really the only mascot, quote unquote mascot, that is a real person who you can see their, you know, their teeth, their eyes, their eyebrows. It was a very unique model.
Yeah, for sure. A whole different conversation of why restaurants went away from that. But you know, so where I want to kind of take, you know, talk about now is, so your current role in life, as we had mentioned there early on, is being kind of, you know, doing some keynote speaking and things like that, which, yeah. You know, we just got into events last year, so I'm becoming more familiar with this world. Mm. You know, I will tell you, it is not easy.
No, it's not.
Yeah, you know, I years ago, I used to get really nervous getting on stage, and then the way that I solved that was, this is just works for me. It's like, I know the opposite is true for a lot of people, but I realized the less I prepared, the better I performed. So it's like, you know, I would make these long slide decks and stuff, and I would get up there, you know, I had practiced it in front of the mirror and blah, blah, blah. And what would happen to me is, as I would start to talk, I would like consciously realize I missed something that I had like practiced saying. And then I'd suddenly be kind of, you know, be like a little moment of panic. You know, I'd be like scaling back to try to say what I had meant to say, what I thought sounded so good when I was practicing. And then so one day I had to talk to about, it was like 250 franchisees of this brand. I was at a conference, and like I made the slides, you know, and I had an idea what I was talking about, but my thought was like, I'm just going to put these up and I'm just basically going to speak to them like off the cuff. And I, you know, and I didn't pause once in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And so amazing. For me going forward now, I always do that. You know, obviously I try not to, I don't want to get up there. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I sure. I don't rehearse it anymore. And it's just resulted in me being a lot less nervous. It's, but again, everyone's different. So I want to talk about your strategy and the message that you get across, which is, you know, that it's okay to be an idiot, which, what does that mean? It's a good place to start.
So, you know, I had this idea about, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when I was with Caspers. I was having lunch with a friend and I was kind of telling him, you know, my background and all this stuff. And he said, man, he goes, you need to become a full-time speaker. And he says, you need to do something around the word idiot because, you know, people call the clown the idiot or the fool. And he said, but idiot really needs to be an acronym for you. And so him and I at, you know, lunch jotted down some acronyms for the word idiot. And then ultimately it fell into imagine your potential, dream big, ignite your inner fire, own your originality, and give thanks. So idiot. So my book and my featured presentation is called It's Okay to Be an Idiot. And so whenever I had the job at Caspers, the first year or so, man, I probably gave my life story hundreds upon hundreds of times because I was having meetings with all these new nonprofit, for-profit, government, law enforcement, education leaders, and not having ever come from the corporate world or worked my way up through the McDonald's brand, which I know McDonald's really prides themselves on going through each level of you know, leadership. Obviously starting off cleaning the lobbies, the bathrooms, and then you work your way up. And actually most of the executives at Caspers Company before they sold did just that. They started off, you know, cleaning the lobbies, and then they became executive vice presidents over their respective departments. And so, you know, I knew that my background in entertainment was so unconventional, but I also was scared or more reserved that I thought that people wouldn't take me seriously because I was a former clown, that people were like, oh, well, this guy really isn't, you know, what is he doing in the you know, corporate world? And so after the gentleman who was my boss kept on, every time I told my story, he would smile and he thought it was just the greatest thing ever. And I, you know, and I finally realized, well, why is this accomplished executive at Caspers? Why is he loving what I'm saying, but I have this internal reservation of saying it? So finally, after a year, I said, you know what? Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. And that's whenever I started to embrace who I was and the perspective that I brought from entertainment going into corporate. And that's whenever the whole idiot thing kind of started to click with me. And I just shut off and I started to, you know, to own who I was, to own the lane that I was in. And that's when I started to really flourish within the corporate world.
Yeah. So from what I'm reading here and, you know, kind of what that means and the message that you get across to people during this presentation is kind of exactly what you just said there, in terms of people finally just embracing maybe what's weird about them or whatever quirks that you might have, and then to kind of just accept that as you go forward. So I guess what's the high level, you know, what are you trying, you know, what is the message here that, you know, you do get across in these presentations?
You know, what is so interesting is you or a fast food worker or a quick service worker or a sit down, whatever it is, they don't realize that they work in entertainment. They might be in the hospitality industry, and you could really correlate hospitality and entertainment industry. It's the exact same thing. And whenever you finally realize through a mental mindset that what I'm doing is I am representing X amount of people. And for me at Caspers, it was going into our restaurants. I'd be driving to work, go into our restaurants, and I would say, and I would just meet and greet. Well, that probably wasn't the right term, but I would go into the restaurants and I would HBO, hang the bag out the window. And I would just have a, a really fun environment with the, you know, crew. And I would tell them, listen, guys, you know, you're not just handing out food. A couple of things. You're handing out memories. People are coming to you not necessarily for the food. They're coming here because of the experience. Their mom passed away, and they're coming here because there's that nostalgic memory of their mom. So whenever they come to McDonald's and under the Golden Arches, there's just something there. But you really represent more than just yourself handing the food. There's 4,200 people behind you. And so how you dress, how you talk, your interactions, it's this massive performance. And you're not putting on a smile, because people can tell pretty quick if you are phoning it in. But you have to genuinely be invested in what you are doing, that, you know, again, that emotional piece. And so for me at Casper's, it was sharing that message with our folks that you're on a stage. When you enter the restaurant, baby, it's on. And you are performing your greatest show on earth. And if you have a great experience with that customer, it isn't necessarily Dustin's who has had that experience. It's Casper's company. If I have a bad experience, it isn't Dustin, it's the company. And so you really have to be careful. And so my presentation, It's Okay to Be an Idiot, really explores the interconnected worlds of entertainment and business and how it is the exact same thing. And then, of course, folding in the ID IoT of the word idiot. And it really opens up people's eyes, because they've never, ever really understood or ever even sat down to think the parallel worlds of entertainment business and how it is the exact same thing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think anyone in the fast food world, including the media people, you know, we get asked all the time about, you know, Chick-fil-A in particular, right? Mm. Like why or how in the world is this brand made $19 billion last year, being open 6 days a week, yeah, having 2,700 restaurants, you know, comparatively to how much they're outperforming, you know, there is one guy I talked to in like out by Miami, he's an operator of a Chick-fil-A, talking $17 million a year.
Wow.
And how is that possible, right? The menu's got like five things on it.
Sure.
It's good, you know, it's better than probably most, but it has nothing. I mean, the broad thing there is not that, right? It's kind of what you were saying, because every employee who works there understands what you were talking about there. Mm. I mean, even on the corporate side, I mean, I went to HQ a couple months ago, and everybody buys into that world of, you know, I don't know what they're like at home, but once they walk in that door, you know, this kind of,
it's on.
Yeah. It's on of, yep, this friendliness, right? Or, you know, however you want to put it, of just being, yeah, helpful and friendly and nice, you know, and it sounds so simple, but there is such a, you know, and one thing someone asked me once, industry was, you know, is training, like what is going on there that they, mm-hmm, don't have mix-ups there. And I think it's more to what you said, is that it's at this point now that when you get there, that is just who you have to be as an entertainer and as a person. You know, you're either buying into that or you're not. You know, there's no real gray area. But it's not like they have some complicated system in place for you to do this, this, and this. It's just you are either friendly and you work at Chick-fil-A or you're not.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Danny, there's a couple of things. So first of all, being a clown for Ringling Brothers, we're doing 500 shows a year. And each show was 3 hours and 15 minutes, plus all the television, newspaper, and radio interviews every week. Local, national, Men's Health Magazine, Harper's Bazaar, America's Got Talent, whatever it is. It may have been our 734th show out of 1,000 for the two-year tour. The same show, 1,000 shows. But to the audience out there who's watching that show, that is their first time and maybe only time ever to see the greatest show on earth. So I don't care if you are so sick and tired of hearing the opening production number song. When that music comes on and that curtain opens up and you see 17,000 people out there, it isn't about Dustin. It isn't about X, Y, and Z. It's about them. And people just don't, people are so, not everyone, but everyone thinks me. And that's just not it. When you are a true performer or really have emotionally invested in the career that you have, I'm not going to say job, because I believe jobs are for high school students, for summer work, or for college kids who are trying to make extra money to pay their rent or to get their books. Everyone really should be finding a why, finding a mission. Whenever you find a mission, you find a purpose. The money comes. If you're chasing the money is always going to run quicker. So whenever you're out there in front of your customers at, say, Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or Burger King or whatever it is, it isn't about you. It is about the experience. And it's really creating the magic of that. And it isn't, but it isn't done fake. You have to be authentically invested in that. And a lot of people don't understand that you have to genuinely love what you do. And it has to come from an authentic place.
Yes. We do this drive-through study. We've been doing it for 25 years or whatever, but it was a couple of years ago. So, you know, Chick-fil-A always comes in last by speed because they're just busier. I mean, it's not a complicated thing. It's just, you know, if you pull up and there's 19 cars there, it's going to take longer than if there was 3 cars.
Sure.
But so what we always do, or we used to do, I don't think we did this last year, was, you know, speed of service from the order point to the pickup point. But then we'll survey the people, you know, so we mystery shop on one side and then we survey the consumers on the other side. And so Chick-fil-A is always slowest. And then they always finish first in speed of service satisfaction. So the customer thinks they're faster than everybody else, even though they're actually slower. And so then what we did this past year was we took friendliness, which we always measure, and they're usually a top. But then we started to correlate, you know, if you're friendlier, are you faster? And the answer was both technically yes and also anecdotally yes. You know, people thought that, but actually we clocked you faster if you had friendlier employees. And so somebody was like, that seems kind of like, you know, doesn't make a ton of sense. But it actually makes a lot of really basic elemental sense, which is that if you happen to have a friendlier employee, chances are that person is also a better employee.
Sure, so of course,
really
yeah.
It was really not a complicated concept. It was just that they had people who bought in, you know, and wanted to deliver guest experience. And because of that, they were faster.
Sure.
And the brands that were able to have friendlier employees were better at speed of service. And it was just such an interesting dynamic. And you started to see a lot of other brands begin to chase that now, you know, versus like, let's just get it in and out. You're yelling at the speaker box. The person on the other line seems about as angry as humanly possible.
Yeah, right, sure.
We're going to do it in 2 minutes and get the hell out of here, and it's going to cost $3. I mean, A, it doesn't cost $3 anymore. You know, and then the other part of that, I think because of smartphones and whatever, like people are willing to wait a little bit if you're a little bit friendlier.
Absolutely.
Everything has really changed that, you know, on that front, I feel like, lately in fast food. And it just goes to show, it's everything that you talk. So I'm kind of curious, you know, when you do talk, I mean, have you done this for restaurants? It sounds like, you know, it'd be a really good thing for a lot of them to hear, which I guess is what this is also going to do.
Yeah.
Have you given this speech? I'd just be curious, like, how they reacted to it.
You know, I have a McDonald's franchise had me come out, or it was a virtual summit. And I gave a very similar presentation, and it was really, condensed, but the reception of it is just fantastic. And again, people have never truly understood or, you know, thought about it. And, you know, this was stuff that I had embraced at Casper's, and Casper's embraced me embracing it. And it brought a whole new level of perspective to the employees. And we saw our numbers tick up. Whenever you are just nicer and kinder and more authentic, you know, my two superpowers are being intentional and being authentic, and that's what you're going to get with me. And when you can hold those superpowers, and genuinely believe it, man, you can move mountains. And at Casper's, it was just an incredible thing. And, you know, I've spoken, I did a virtual meet and greet party for the National Owners Association. And just to hear some of these franchises and their, you know, feedback and, oh my gosh, this is so great. And, you know, we need more things like this. And the content in the restaurant environment operations is, you know, we need, you know, KPIs and we need to move the drive through and our timing from kitchen to window is so slow. But thinking of things a little bit unorthodoxly, if that's even a, you know, word, of how you can do business, how you can shape people's mindset, I think is the absolute key to getting, first of all, retaining people, because turnover nowadays is just ungodly expensive. And, you know, during COVID, Casper's, one January, we were hiring 500 people because it was just absolutely absurd. But whenever you hire the right people with that kind of mindset, turnover goes down, your profits shoot up, the P&L looks pretty damn good. And so everything just kind of naturally falls into place.
Yeah. Well, Dustin, before we let you go, I do want to ask you about your book that you had mentioned there to give you a chance to plug it a little bit. I think.
Sure. Thank you.
So I assume it's about similar things here, but when what is kind of the premise and when can people order it, or what's kind of the, I guess, do people say 411 still? Is that a thing? I don't
know. It is. So the book, like I said, I should be getting it sometime soon. It's my second proof. I am looking for a mid-February launch date, depending on how the proof comes back to me. Take a look and see. But the book really highlights the interconnected worlds of entertainment and business. And then it really dives deep into the whole idiot piece. So every word of the word idiot has its own chapter and really talks about, like, gratitude. If you're not happy, if you are not grateful for what you have now, why would the universe give you more? So it just gives those little nuggets of information and it talks about people skills and things that us entertainers do naturally in our own realm, but man, it translates beautifully into the hospitality, quick service, business industries. I don't care if you're an engineer or if you're a school teacher. These five principles or these five concepts that have guided me throughout my life are all shoved right into one book. Think of the book like a clown car. From the outside, it's kind of small. 164 pages, but man, you get down inside and you start opening up doors. You're like, oh my gosh, there's even more there. And there's even more there. So really excited about it. I think it's really going to open up a lot of people's eyes to the world that they've been living in and that how they can take it to the next level and even beyond that.
Yeah. And one thing you had mentioned right before then too, about being authentic. I think to me, that's, even when I try to hire people and stuff, I mean, that's the one thing that I think it's really most important, because especially, like you look at LinkedIn, everybody is an entertainer and they're, congratulating somebody,
sure,
themselves or whatever. But I do think there is an element there. Like if you come across and you try to be this way, but you're just not coming from a place of authenticity, it doesn't resonate to me. I think people can see it. I do think there's a
100%
sense of, people being an entertainer, but deep down they don't believe in the mission or
absolutely
they work for or what sure they're talking about. And I'm trying as a human being in my late 30s here to think about that a lot as I go forward in things, because I just think you have to really be invested in kind of where you're going, because to your point, otherwise I don't think anyone else is going to believe you.
Well,
a little rant there for me.
Well, whenever you are a performer, if I'm doing a routine and I am not connecting with what I'm doing, the audience that I'm performing to can tell immediately and they're going to tune me out and they may focus their attention somewhere else. The folks working in the restaurants, if your audience who's literally an arm's length away, if you're not authentically connecting eye contact, a smile, if it isn't coming from a place of authenticity, you've turned your customers off. Again, your customers aren't saying, oh, Brittany isn't authentic. Now she's blanketed the entire organization as this fake concept that she can't get behind. So adios, I'm never coming to you ever again. It really puts things into perspective whenever you can shift from a me standpoint and selfishness to now everyone else. I want to make the owner look good. I want to make my other 30 coworkers look good. And I want to make this entire organization look good. And it's a win-win for everyone. Customer, employee, owner, brand, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. All right, Dustin. Well, thank you so much for joining us. If somebody wants to find out some more information, or maybe, you know, even, you know, find a way to get you to speak to somebody, what's a good place they can reach you?
They can visit my website, DustinMPortillo.com. That's DustinMPortillo.com. Go to LinkedIn. You can find my, you know, profile there, and would love to, you know, love to see how I can level up your organization and make your peeps stand out and bring, you know, back that friendly demeanor to your, you know, brand and what is now missing.
Right. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much, Dustin. For everybody out there who's listening, as always, we appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Dan.